Support for Kansas City Today comes from Grandma's Office Catering, delivering made-from-scratch hot meals and individual boxed lunches for fast distribution to offices, warehouses, and factories, even on nights and weekends. Details are at grandmascatering.com.
This is Kansas City Today. I'm Nomi Inujiadeen. Today is Tuesday, April 16th. Coming up, as schools in Kansas continue to deal with student behavior issues, some teachers are getting hurt trying to restrain students or break up fights.
There's going to be more and more teachers refusing to come out of their classrooms to monitor hallways because they don't want to lose their job.
We'll hear how a Kansas teacher is dealing with the aftermath of a serious injury on the job. Plus, a former high-end Kansas City chef is now running a restaurant in a small town in the middle of Kansas.
It's just a wonderful place. The food is good, the service is amazing, the drinks are good. It's just a place to be proud of. And it's also important for our economy.
How local food is bringing new energy to a rural community. But first, some headlines. Kansas City manager Brian Platt is defending his performance and recent pay raise in response to accusations of racism. Last week, Black community leaders began circulating a petition urging the city council to rescind Platt's recent contract extension or subject it to a public vote. Speaking on KCUR's Up to Date, Platt says he could do more to build trust with Black residents, but he says council support of him was nearly unanimous.
The vote that I had for my contract extension is a good reflection of this, 11 to 1. And so there is not a racial divide or an issue that you're seeing. And if there was, I think the council would make it very clear publicly to me and to everybody.
Petitioners must collect more than 4,000 signatures by May 7th. However, the city's legal department argues Platt's contract extension cannot be overturned through referendum. One of the three adults charged in the Super Bowl rally shooting at Union Station pleaded not guilty yesterday. KCUR's Sam Zeff has more.
20-year-old Terry Young, wearing an orange jumpsuit and hands manacled, pleaded not guilty to four counts, including second-degree murder. Police say Young was part of one of the groups whose argument escalated into a shootout. 43-year-old Lisa Lopez Galvan died and 24 others were wounded. Young is being held in the Jackson County Jail on $1 million bond. Two other adults and two underage teens have also been arrested. Family court has yet to decide whether to charge the teens as adults.
Kansas education leaders have restored full accreditation to Kansas City, Kansas public schools. Suzanne Perez reports.
The Kansas State Board of Education voted last year to put the KCK district on conditional accreditation because of concerns over student test scores and a lower-than-average graduation rate. In 2020, the district's graduation rate fell below 69%, compared to the state average of 89%. After a review of the district's improvement plan, the state board voted last week to grant full accreditation. Kansas City, Kansas is the largest school district in Wyandotte County. On May 7th, voters will decide on a $420 million bond issue to build and renovate schools.
We'll be back after this.
You listen to Kansas City Today every day because we're your local, reliable news source. You take us seriously. But now it's time to have some fun. Join us at our annual benefit, Radioactive, on June 14th. NPR's All Things Considered host Ari Shapiro is the featured guest at this party, and it's gonna be bumpin'. You gotta be there. Sponsorship packages and ticket information are available at kcur.org/radioactive.
Schools in Kansas are becoming more violent places as students struggle with pandemic behavior issues. Teachers are sometimes injured just trying to keep order. Suzanne Perez of the Kansas News Service looks at the growing problem of teachers hurt on the job and how schools are responding.
Last August, Dave Clark, then the athletic director at Wichita's West High School, was standing in a hallway when a fight broke out. A school police officer restrained one student, but the brawl continued. When another student jumped on the officer's back, Clark says he ran in to help.
And a mob had ensued, and I got between the police officer and the mob. And pretty much that's the last thing I remember because I was knocked unconscious.
cell phone video from the scene shows Clark sprawled on the floor with his head against a brick wall. He suffered a severe concussion. The injury put Clark on medical leave for the rest of the school year, and ultimately, West High replaced him. District officials won't talk about this case, saying it's a personnel issue. Clark hopes to get another teaching job, but he's no longer athletic director.
I lost my career that I loved, through no fault of my own, by protecting the police officer and students. So it is maddening.
Teaching isn't a profession that people typically consider risky. But over the past few years, schools across the country are reporting more incidents of student-on-teacher violence. Most states, including Kansas, don't require schools to report or track teacher injuries. But teachers are talking about it, and the issue is frequently in the news.
She is a 60-year-old teacher, and she did suffer a severe brain injury.
He grabbed her and put her in a chokehold.
Both had the same outcome, a teacher getting hurt.
In a recent survey, about a third of school leaders across the country say they've noticed an uptick in physical altercations since the pandemic. And they say fights could be worsening the teacher shortage. Katie Warren heads United Teachers of Wichita, which represents about 4,000 school employees in the state's largest district. She says teachers who monitor hallways and common areas serve as first responders.
These things happen so quickly. Like, it might happen in a bathroom, and by the time security gets there, you know, the teachers are in the hallway and able to respond quicker.
Warren says most teachers act on instinct to protect students and colleagues.
And it's unfortunate when teachers are put in a spot where they have to intervene and could possibly end up really injured.
Terry Moses is Wichita's Director of Safety Services. She says the district uses an approach called restorative practices to help students resolve conflicts and, if possible, prevent fights from happening.
If we can monitor our hallways, if we can monitor our areas, our cafeterias, and if you start seeing that, hey, I can see that there's some behavior over there that's concerning, let's intervene before it turns into a fight.
If a fight does break out, Moses says teachers respond differently. That's partly because there aren't clear rules about what they should do, whether they should step in themselves or use a radio or cell phone to call for help.
Just understanding you've got options in terms of how you handle those situations, but you've always got resources.
Clark from West High says teachers get plenty of practice on how to deal with outside intruders, like their annual run, hide, fight training. But he says schools need more security officers for internal scuffles that turn violent.
And I think as more teachers hear what happened to me, there's going to be more and more teachers refusing to come out of their classrooms to monitor hallways because they don't want to lose their job.
Unless lawmakers require tracking or clearer school policies, teachers are in a no-win situation. Faced with violence in school, they can either stand back and watch students or staff members get hurt, or they can get involved and risk getting hurt themselves. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Suzanne Perez in Wichita.
The Kansas News Service is a KCUR-based collaboration, including KMUW, Kansas Public Radio, and High Plains Public Radio. It reports on health, the many factors that influence it, and their connection to public policy. You know how a really good meal can lift your mood or make you see a place in a different light? That's happening over and over in a small town on the High Plains of Kansas. KCUR's Frank Morris reports on a restaurant using local meat and high-end cooking to breathe new life into a hard-pressed farm community.
Friday night rush hour in Sylvan Grove, Kansas. A car or a truck or a tractor drives by every so often. Main Street is mainly empty. But inside one of the old limestone buildings, Flyboy Brewery and Eats is filling up.
Well, it's open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday mornings, and we eat here as often as we can. So we feel pretty good about this place.
Sandy Labertue and her husband are regulars.
Because the business is in Sylvan, and we want to do as much as we can to keep things open here.
People out here cherish a successful local business. Sylvan Grove, population 290, has been mostly shrinking for a century. The surrounding county is a third the size it was in 1880. It's not the most obvious place to buy a restaurant, but that's just what Grant Wagner did 3 years ago.
Well, a big reason, I just got tired of making food for rich people. I wanted to go back to making food that I cared about for people I cared about.
Wagner grew up in another little town out here, around people who he says knew how to work with their hands, fix stuff, make do. He left after high school and worked his way up through some of the best restaurants in Kansas City, Bluestem, Justice Drugstore, to become executive chef at JJ's, where he says customers might drop $2,000 or $3,000 on dinner.
I couldn't relate to the people that I was cooking the food for, and cooking, it's a passion project, making any kind of food.
It's working. On the busiest nights, Wagner says Flyboy will serve 300 people, so more than the town's entire population. Some drive in 2 hours from Wichita. Some are on their way to nearby Wilson Lake. The meat served here is from a lot closer.
Finally, this year, I've got 100% local beef, and man, it is fantastic. It'll put anything in Kansas City. It'll give them a run for their money. And then a lot of our produce is coming from within 60 miles.
He uses honey from right down the street, local cucumbers to make pickles, and mushrooms from somebody's basement. Everything's made from scratch, and all the cuts of meat are vacuum cooked before being finished on a grill or in a super hot oven. It's a French process called sous vide, and Wagner says it ensures that the meat is cooked to the perfect temperature every time. Prices are about what you'd expect in Kansas City, but high for the countryside. A honestly fantastic bacon cheeseburger runs $16. A KC strip will set you back closer to $40. Lucas Haas, the co-owner and brewer at Flyboy, says the local sourcing isn't so much about the environment as it is about the economy of a place that's seen decades of disinvestment.
You got to do what you got to do to survive out here. But where we can, we try to support local because it keeps it here. And I just really hate seeing so much of our wealth being just vacuum to a different coast.
It's an approach here people appreciate, up and down Main Street.
It's just a wonderful place. High quality food. It's just a place to be proud of.
Rami Schulteis sits behind a desk stacked with books at the Sylvan Grove Public Library.
It is a fun place for local people to go and enjoy themselves. The food is good, the service is amazing, the drinks are good. And it's also important for our economy.
She says Flyboy customers sometimes stay at one of the town's new Airbnbs, for instance. And the restaurant also generates jobs. People like Hannah Paulus, a junior at Sylvan Grove High School, who says she's proud to be part of a small town success story.
This restaurant has just, it's been through everything. It's been through COVID. I just feel like it's a big inspiration to the town being so well known here in Lincoln County.
In a region where most little towns are withering, restaurants are closing, Flyboy is giving Sylvan Grove a renewed sense of hope and pride and proving that there may still be a place in remote rural towns for the younger creative people they desperately need. For KCUR 89.3, I'm Frank Morris.
This is Kansas City Today. I'm Nomi Nujiadine. This podcast is produced by Anna Schmidt and KCUR Studios. It's edited by Madeline Fox and Gabe Rosenberg. To read Suzanne's story about student behavior and Frank's story about Flyboy, visit kcur.org, where you can find more news about Kansas and Missouri from Kansas City's NPR station. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
Hollywood writers are obsessed with the concept of an asteroid heading towards Earth and destroying civilization. But is this something we really should be worried about? I'm Kate the Chemist, and on my podcast, Seeking a Scientist, we meet the mastermind behind a real-life mission to divert the path of an asteroid. Subscribe to Seeking a Scientist, made possible by the Starris Institute.